This morning, I want to talk just a little bit about, does your soul have a backbone? We've been talking a lot about our souls lately. We've been talking a lot about the inner man, the person that is on the inside of us and who we really, really are. And so this morning, I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter and the 13th verse. Now, when we talk about having a backbone, a lot of times in the world that we live in, are we willing to stand up to injustices? Are we willing to stand up to people that are bullies? Are we willing to stand up against the things that are going wrong in the world? Thank you, sir. But having a spiritual backbone, having a backbone for your soul, can be a completely different situation. See, we've got to understand that having a backbone for your soul is something that you have to have if you're going to make it in the kingdom of God. You can make it in this world without a backbone. You can live, you can buy a house, you can raise a family, but if you're going to be anything in the kingdom of God, there has got to be some grit inside of you. There's got to be something inside of you that is willing to stand in the gap and say, you know what, I'm going to live for God, and not only am I going to live for God, but I'm going to live for God victoriously. Amen. And so this morning we're going to talk about a soul's backbone. But in 1 Corinthians 16 and 13 it says, watch ye, stand in the faith, quit you like men. That means be brave, be strong, and let these things be done in charity. Let's read it in the Amplified as it says it like this. It says, be alert and on your guard. Stand firm in the faith, your convictions, respecting a man's relationship with God and divine things. There's got to be a conviction and a respect for God and divine things. Keeping the trust and the holy fever that the born of faith and of the part of it. Act like men and be courageous. Grow in strength. Let everything you do be done in love, true love to God and man as inspired by God. Love, God's love for us. That there's that fever, that favor, that hunger, that desire, that there's something there that is born inside of us to be a part of it, to be courageous and to grow in strength. That we can grow, that we can become more like Christ, that we can become more like Him. We look at Joshua 1 and 7, and when you begin to read the book of Joshua, this word courage and courageous is all throughout the book of Joshua. It says, only be thou strong and of very good courage. Not just a little bit of courage, but very good courage. Be ye strong and of very good courage. That thou may observest to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commandeth thee. Turn not it from the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but shall mediate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to thee according to all that is written therein. For when thou shalt make thy way prosperous, he says, for when thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither thou be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. We've got to understand that as we read in 1 Corinthians here, he talks about standing fast in the faith. He talks about being brave. He talks about being strong. And when you look at all of these things, you can say that all of these work together, that all of these things seem to be along the same lines. It's Jesus that commanded us in Matthew 24 and 42 that says, watch therefore, for ye know not the hour nor the day that doeth come. But know this, that if a good man of a house had known and that said that watched that the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, ye also be ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Paul warns the Christians to stand fast. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again by the yokes of bondage. It's Philippians that says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He said a key word, to say two key statements here, that you've got to stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together. That if there is going to be a revival in the land, it's going to be because that we are bound together in one mind and one accord. That we have come together and made up our minds that, you know what, we're going to walk together. We're going to talk together. We're going to work together. We're going to pray together. We're going to worship together. In one mind, he said. Be brave. Be strong. He says, be brave and to be strong. These are militant words. These are words that you use in the military. Words that people would stand there in the midst of whatever's going on. And that they're there. They're being brave in the midst of things that are coming against them. They're being strong against things that seem to be bigger than what they are. It's Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. We've got to understand that scripture after scripture, he talks about being strong, being strong, being strong, being strong. Now, there are days that we don't feel so strong. There are days that for whatever reason this past week, there was a day I was dragging. I couldn't get my energy level up no matter what. I had 3 cups of coffee and the needle was still pinned on empty. And I don't know if I'd caught a bug or what had happened, but it's just not every day that we're up to the task. It's not every day that we feel like we're running at full throttle and everything's going the way that it should. But God keeps speaking to us throughout his word that you better have more strong days than not. You better make sure that you're doing what it takes to create strong days in your life. We've got to have a courageous life. We've got to live as courageous Christians. The church doesn't need weak Christians. They don't need Christians that don't know what they believe. They don't need Christians that just want to bend with the flow, whichever way the flow is going right now. There's got to be people in this world that stand up for what they believe and believe it, and not only believe it, but live it. It's one thing to know to do right, but you've got to do it. You've got to make sure that I'm going to stand strong. This world doesn't need me to be weak. This world doesn't need me to go with the flow. This world needs to see truth. They've got to see Christianity. They've got to see it through this church. And we've got to be a strong, courageous church. When we look in the mirror, what are the things that we look at and when we think about that we regret the most? When we look in that rearview mirror and we look back in the past of life, what are some of the things that we regret the most in our walk with God? Are there things in our lives that we did not do because of fear of failure, because of fear of hurt, because of fear of pain, because of fear of rejection, because of fear of what it might cost, because of fear of how it may change our lives? God used people throughout the Bible that were not naturally courageous. God found people in the Bible that it wasn't in their DNA to be courageous. There were things inside of them that caused them to be fearful. There were things inside of them that caused them that they weren't naturally that bold and brash. He had to bring David to a place where David would finally fight the bear, and then he would finally fight the lion, and then he would finally fight the bear, and then he was finally ready for the giant. But I imagine that first time, and you've heard me say it before, that he saw a lion for the first time, there just wasn't something inside of him that stepped out in faith. We look at David as this faithful person, this person that fought, that sang, that was king. But I imagine he saw lots of lions. He probably saw that same lion lots of times before finally he stepped out with faith. I wonder how many prayer meetings he had to have with God before he was willing and ready to step out in faith. That's something we're going to talk about in a minute, but we've got to understand that you look at Joshua. Moses was the only voice that the Israelites had ever heard. Moses took his rod and water split. They walked across and it swallowed them up. Moses walked and a cloud followed and Moses would strike a stone and water would flow out from it. Moses would pray and food would be delivered. This was the kind of leadership that they were used to. Can you imagine the guy that had to follow that guy? Can you imagine the guy that had to step in behind a guy that had that kind of relationship with God, that the scripture says that he knew God like as a friend face to face, that they had that kind of relationship with each other? And so now Moses is gone and God says, Joshua, you're up. Oh, dear God in heaven, what do we do now? I imagine Joshua had followed Moses for years. He knew how Moses acted. He knew how Moses prayed. There's scriptures when Moses left the prayer room, Joshua stayed in the prayer room. It wasn't that Joshua wasn't talented enough or ready enough. It doesn't matter what your talent is. It doesn't matter what your ability is. If there's no courage that comes with it, then it's literally useless. You might as well not have talent, and you might as well not have ability. And so he was talented enough. God chose him out of everybody else. He had proved himself for years of following after Moses. He was one of the only of the 12 spies that said, we can take the land. He had been next to Moses for years. He knew how to do it. He knew what to do. He'd been trained. He'd been taught. He knew the movement. He knew what it was going to take to get the millions loaded up. He knew what it was going to take to move them. He knew what it was going to take to feed them. He knew what it was going to take to clothe them. He knew everything he needed to know. And so when God began to speak to him, time after time throughout the book of Joshua, he's constantly saying, be of good courage. He's constantly reminding him, I will be with you always. Wherever thou goest, I will be with you, he tells him. Be of good courage. Be thou strong. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid of what comes next. If you'll stand strong, if you will stand in the gap, I will take care of everything else. I will lead. I will help. I will be there to carry you. I'll take care of the rest if you will just stand in the gap. Erwin McManus says it like this: courage is not an issue of wiring, but of willingness. It's not an issue of DNA, but it is an issue of the heart. Ambrose Redmond says it like this: courage is not absent of fear, but rather the judgment that there is something else that is more important than fear. It's not the absence of fear, it's just knowing that there's something that is more important than fear. That's what we've got to understand, that there is something in this world that is more important than the fears that we have in our lives. There is something that is more important than the fear that we have of rejection, of what might not happen, or if they might not accept it, or what I might have to change. We've got to understand that there's got to be a spiritual backbone in each and every one of us that is willing to stand in the gap. I hear people talk about how talented they are, but talent without courage is nothing. I hear people talk about their abilities and what they can do. And if they just get cut loose, what world or the world that they could change. But until you begin to show courage behind the talent is useless. You see, we've got to understand that our courage in Christ first must come with a relationship with Him. You can get excited for a little while just off a shot in the arm, but true courage for Christ is going to come with a long-term relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I had a friend, he sat down with my grandfather and he told him, he said, I want a relationship with God like you have. What do I need to do that? And he said, let's start with praying an hour every day, fasting one day a week. He said, all right, I can do that. That's obtainable. And then he said, and then live to be 84. It takes time. It's not just something that you pop up one day after a good prayer meeting here and you go out and you conquer the world. Hey, because you've got to make sure that spiritual backbone that you've got strong enough to bring you back to an altar tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day, because true courage in Christ comes from a true relationship with Christ. When you have been in His presence, you can handle anything else in this presence. When you have been in the presence of an almighty, awesome God, it doesn't matter what comes your way. When you've got a confirmation from Him, you can have the courage to walk through anything. Martin Luther King Jr. was at a place of fear. He had received all kinds of letters of they were going to kill him. They were going to take his life. They were going to kill his family. All of these things that they were sending to Martin Luther King Jr. He said he was so afraid and was so petrified by fear that he would literally become paralyzed. They were calling, "What do we do next?" He didn't know what to do. They were wanting to get things together. They were wanting to plan, but he was so afraid of what was going on and so petrified, paralyzed by the things that were going on in his life, the letters that he was sending, the things that were the rocks with notes on them that were being thrown, all of the stuff that was going on in his life. And he said there was one night he got down in the floor and he began to pray and he began to talk to God about all of his fears. He began to talk to God about his lack of courage. And in the midst of this prayer meeting in the middle of the night, he said God spoke to him and said, "Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for truth. I will be by your side." 3 nights later, they blew his house up, but he said there was something about that experience that he had with God that gave him the strength to carry on. The fear of being assassinated was still there. The letters were still real. The threats were still real. But he said that moment that he had that encounter with God in his home that 3 nights earlier was the encounter that allowed him to march for the rest of his life. Did he know that he was possibly going to be assassinated? Yes. Did he know that the road was going to be hard? Yes. But the experience that he had been given with God had given him the strength and the trust to carry on. If you are expecting to have courage without relationship, you can have physical courage. You can stand and look at a person and tell them they're wrong or whatnot. You can, but true courage, the courage to stand, the courage to live, the courage to pray, the courage to believe, the courage to hold on to truth when it seems like every other world, every other flow, every other thing is being tossed from one side to the other. But the courage to stand in the gap and to be the men and the women that God has called us to be. That's why Jesus said in John 15:4, "Abide in me and I in you." Abide, get close to, live, hold on to, stay. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can we, it says, no more can ye expect ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If you feel helpless in your walk with God this morning, How connected are you to the vine? If you feel useless in your walk with God this morning, how connected are you really to the vine? If you feel like God can't use you this morning, how connected, how long has it been since you've connected into the flow of the vine? How long has it been since you've tapped in to his resources and his power? How long has it been since you've allowed him to speak into your life? So if I'm going to have spiritual courage, first off, I first have to have a relationship with him. Second of all, I've got to know what is the right thing to do. What is the right thing to do when you begin to ask yourself, God, what is it that you desire of me to do? What is it that you're calling me to do? We've got to make sure that the things that we are doing is the right thing to do. We've got to understand that what we're doing has to be right. We can't be doing something that is wrong. It can't be right and contrary to his word. It can't be right and contrary to what he says. If I've had people tell me, well, God told me such and such, and I'm looking at the Bible thinking, he's never changed his word, and so he's not changing it for us. And so we've got to understand that what we're doing, it has to be right. We've got to pray, God, let it be right in my life. Lord, let the decisions that I make be right in my life. God, because if we're making right decisions, then we can understand that we can have courage in the decisions that we're making. It's Romans 12 and 17, recompense to no man evil for evil, for provide things honest in the sight of all men. If you read it in the Amplified, it says, repay no evil for evil, but take thought for that that is honest and proper and noble, aiming to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. We've got to live above reproach. We've got to live a right life. We've got to make sure that the decisions that we're making are right. We've got to make sure that the people on the job, when they talk to us, that they see right. They don't see somebody that's fudging on their time card. They don't see somebody that's celebrating about how that they got one over on the IRS. I heard about a young man the other day that he was all excited because he could pull his truck into the yard and fill his personal truck up and then also fill a gas tank up to make sure that his lawnmower at the house could be filled up too. That is not true Christianity. We've got to live right. If we're going to have courage to stand, you can have confidence. See, it's easy to not have confidence to stand up when you know everybody else knows you're not living what you say you live. It's hard to want to pray for somebody when you know they know that you're not living the way that you should be living. But when you are constantly trying to live right, when you are constantly trying to live to the highest level possible that you can live, it's easy to be able to say, hey, it's easy to be able to turn and be, hey, this is what we've got to do. People are trusting. People believe in you. People believe in what's going on in your world because you live at a higher standard, a right standard above what else is. Why? Because we're better? No, but because that's where God has called us to live. We've also got to be able to discern if we're really doing God's will. If you know that you're doing God's will, it's easy to have a backbone. If you know that God has called you, it's easy to have a backbone. If you know that you're where God wants you to be, it's easy to have a backbone. If you know that God called you to a place and he's never told you to leave that place, it's easy to have a backbone. You've got to understand that you've got to know that what God has called you to do is God's will, and you cannot know his will without relationship. I want God to speak to me. I want somebody, I want a prophet to come and prophesy. I want an accidental phone call and something. We all have these. If this would happen, if an angel showed up, no, you've got to have a relationship with him to know exactly and to discern what is the will of God for this situation. I was talking to a person the other day. They're dealing with a pastoral change in their church. And when there's change that's going on, there's a whole lot of different voices that come into play. when there's change that's going on, when there are major decisions that are being made, especially with a bunch of good-meaning people, people that love God, people that want to go to heaven, and all of a sudden you start getting different voices coming out. All of a sudden this one believes this, and this one feels this, and this one had a dream about this, and this one had a dream about that. And all of a sudden there's all of this confusion because it's all of these good people that are doing it in the name of God. And it's hard to argue with that. When somebody walks into my office and they tell me that God told me to do this, I don't even argue with them anymore. Unless it's just blatantly against the word of God. Because you can't argue with somebody that God's talked to. If that's their excuse, if that's the one they're laying on the table, you can't argue with that. That's your business. There's nothing I can do to, and people will use, they'll use that trump card. Well, God told me to do this. When you bring God into the equation, you better make sure that God is in the equation. When you put God on the table and say, God told me to do this, you better make sure that God's in the equation of what he told you to do. So we've got to know the will of God, and the will of God will never cause us to do wrong. If I have to fudge a little to get what I think is the will, then I'm wrong. If I have to manipulate a little, God doesn't need me to manipulate for his will to be done. God doesn't need me to make up stuff for his will to be done. God doesn't need me to change and deceive and I believe God wants this done, and so I've got to do everything that I need to do to make sure that that happens. If I've got to lie, cheat, and steal just a little bit, he'll understand. If I've got to alter my character for his will to be done, it's not his will. So we've got to know his will. If his will causes me to alter my character, it is not his will. If his will causes me to act in a different way, it is not his will. It has to be his will. And if I'm going to bring God into the equation, if you just say, hey, this is my will, that's fine. Don't bring God into the equation. This is what I want. That's great. We all have our opinions. Everybody can have an opinion. But we've got to make sure when we bring God into the equation, it's got to be his will. I was dealing with the situation, and there's a man in the church, and he feels like God gave him a dream about another situation, that this is the way that it's supposed to be done. And so he's not telling huge lies, but he's telling lies just enough to throw people off. They're not bad lies. It's not like that things, it's just enough to cause people to raise a little bit of question in the situation in order for him to get what he feels like God told him. Now, if God tells me something, I don't have to do anything in order for that to come to fruition. If God tells it to you, just step back. Keep praying, keep working, keep moving. But if it's a God thing, God will be God in Jesus' name. God doesn't need us to manipulate the situation. God doesn't. And I don't know why I'm talking about this. I don't know why I'm bringing this up. I don't know but we've got to understand that if it is the will of God will happen with or without us. And if he's spoken to us, then we just step back. There's been things I felt pretty sure about it, and I've stepped back and wondered, waited, and it didn't happen just the way that it was. And I am thankful I didn't stick my neck out on the line and jump out there. God doesn't need my help to do anything. Amen. God will take care of it. If we're going to have a spiritual backbone, we've got to be able to separate our decision-making from the problem-solving. Because sometimes we'll look at the solving the problem, and it might create a bigger problem, and so we won't make the right decision based upon what might be the end result at that moment in time. That's why you have to know the will of God in your life. That's why you've got to know the will of God. You've got to be able to separate. Okay, yes, this might create a little bit more pain in my life right now, but in the long run, I know that this is going to be the best thing for it. But if we constantly make decisions upon what makes our life easier right now, there is never going to be true change in our lives. That's why some of us have been stuck so long in the same place, in the same rut, because we've never been willing to make the hard hard decision that's going to take a drastic change in our life, that's going to affect us, that's going to create a little bit more pain than what we'd like. And so we find ourselves stuck because in the decision making that we're making our decision based upon how it's going to make us feel right now. And so if we're going to have a spiritual backbone, we've got to understand I've got to separate that. If we're going to have a spiritual backbone, we've got to understand that God is faithful. The truth of the matter is do I trust Him or do I not trust Him? He's either God or He's not. So if I'm going to have a spiritual backbone, we've got to understand that we've got to come to that conclusion right here, right now. He is God and He is God alone. I trust Him and I may not know tomorrow, but I know that He is faithful and I'm going to trust Him. Joseph had one of the strongest spiritual backbones that you've ever seen. You've never seen him be a warrior. You never saw him pick up a sword and slay anybody. He never killed a giant. But in the midst of everything that was going on, he could still stand. In the midst of every beating that he ever received, he could still stand. In the midst of any family hurting him, he could still stand. We've got to understand that God is faithful and that He has given us a promise. It doesn't matter if we're in the pit, in the prison, or in Potiphar's house. We can still stand because He is faithful. How am I going to stand? It's all based upon one thing. I first have to have a relationship with Him. Because if I have a true relationship with Him, then I'll be able to make the tough decisions because I trust Him. If I have a true relationship with Him, I'll be able to step back and allow God to unfold the rose instead of me getting in there and trying to make everything happen all by myself. If I have a true relationship with Him, I'll be able to discern what is really His will and what is really my will. We've got to have a spiritual, soulish backbone. And that doesn't mean being mean. It doesn't mean being grumpy. It doesn't mean, oh, no. It means that we've got people that stand for truth, that believe in truth, that know the will of God and are willing to stand for the will of God, that are willing to believe the will of God, that are willing to hold on to the will of God, and willing to see God's will come to fruition. In Jesus' name. Your mission is way greater than the fears that you carry. Stand in the gap and allow God to be God in your life. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that your Spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord God, if we're going to find the peace and the joy that we so desire, if we're going to be healthy on the inside, oh God, if the soulish side of us is going to be healthy, then we've got to have a backbone. We've got to have a soulish backbone. We've got to have a spiritual backbone because we can't just waver to the right or to the left. We've got to be what you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. How am I going to do it? First and foremost, it's going to be because I have a relationship with Him. I'm going to know the will of God because of my relationship with Him. I'm going to be willing to let God be God. I'm not talking about just going on break. I'm saying just let God be God. Let God be God. Let God be God and trust Him. And He'll take care of everything else. Amen?